Father, we thank you for another wonderful time before you. And we thank you for the gathering of eagles and champions that are here today. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Today, O Lord, open our understanding. Today, O Lord, let these words prosper in our lives. Today, O Lord, ensure that no one who has come into this ministration will make mistakes. In the name of Jesus, it is well with you. No weapon formed against your life shall prosper. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. A louder amen. You recall that the first time we started to teach on this, I told you that day that the next worst thing after hellfire is a bad marriage. We spoke to that level. And we said the choice of your marital partner, your marriage partner, determines 99% of your success in life. Whether you will sink or you will float depends on who you marry. If you marry your enemy, it will kill you. If you marry a deficit, you become a deficit. And if you marry a zero, you become zero. And I could remember telling you that there are a lot of women will have lived for long if not for the wicked husband they married. And so the short lifespan of plenty of women have been linked to the kind of marriage they got themselves into. I pray that the Lord will help you. And none of you here will make mistakes. Then that time I remember we went into 14 wrong reasons for getting married. And I explained to you the reasons you should not get married. If you want more of this information, the tapes, the CDs are there. Get them so that you can understand the 14 wrong reasons to get married. Then we went into the different categories of husbands that are available in the supermarket. So that when you get to the supermarket, you know what you are picking. So if you have gone to the supermarket to pick a Panadol husband, then God have mercy on you. Then we went to the categories of wives that are available to be married. If you marry a dictionary wife, then God have mercy on you. I think to my mind, that's where we stopped. And we didn't go further. So today now, we want to go into how really do you know that this person is my wife? This person is my husband. How do you have that kind of information? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Are we there? Genesis is at the beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. God has been creating, has been creating, has been creating, has been creating, has been creating. And each time after the creation, when they run the material through the quality control laboratory of heaven, they say it was very good. Very good. But when we now got to Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, we found something that is not good. Genesis 2 18 says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him amongst all those animals that he was naming. Not even the dog, that is so friendly with man. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and God brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother. He will leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Let me make a few statements about choosing a life partner before we now go on into the technicalities. I want to make a few statements. Statement number one. Marriage was created by God. Therefore, instructions for godly marriage must come from God. It is not your grandfather in your village who created marriage. Neither is it your psychedelic mommy that created marriage. Marriage was created by who? God of heavens. Since he was the creator of marriage, he is the only one too who can give instruction on the kind of marriage to do. We do respect the issue of instructions for marriage cannot come from the brain of a man. It also cannot come from what you can see in your eyes. It's instruction from heaven. The great apostle, Babalola, who you can call the father of Pentecostalism in this country, said certain things. In our church in those days, many, many years back, there was this beautiful woman in that church. Very beautiful woman. The woman had lectures about marriage. He now went to the great apostle, Babalola, and said, Daddy, please pray for me. I want to marry the man God wants me to marry. Please pray for me. Let me find that man. You just tell me who the man is, and I will go and marry the man. And the man of God went to pray. Fasted, prayed, and God spoke to him. The time the sister came back and said, Daddy, I'm here. Who should I marry? The man of God pointed to one man in the church. The problem was that the man had only one eye. Ah. Said, Baba, what is this? Said, that is who God wants you to marry. Said, no way. Look at me now. Look at me. How can a beautiful woman like me marry somebody with one eye? What kind of trouble is that? I said, I'm sorry, oh. I don't think I want to listen to this. So she went off, married somebody else of her choice. As of the time that I got to know her very well, that husband had become what you call a jelly. Cannot perform, cannot do anything, and was not available to her at all. Eventually, the man died. So it's God who knew the bone he took from the man. It's God who knew the woman he used the bone to create. So it's God who can locate that bone and say, this is the person. Unfortunately for many people, what you want is not what you need. And it's a big problem. What they are looking for is not really what they need. They look for the wrong thing. So God created marriage, and instruction from marriage must come from him. That is statement number one. Statement number two, it is an abomination to make decisions on marriage based on personal thoughts, personal opinion, or the wisdom or customs of this world. Is an abomination to make decisions on marriage based on your personal thoughts, your personal opinion, or the wisdom and customs of this world. It's a serious abomination. Right now, statistics has shown that practically 60% of all marriages break down. It didn't used to be so before. It's so right now. Statement number 3. Marriage is not for boys and girls. It's for a man and a woman. Marriage is not for a boy of 10 and a girl of 8. Or a boy of 15 and a girl of 14. Is therefore shall a man live and join to a woman, not a boy and a girl joined together. If a boy and a girl decides to join together in marriage, they marry into zero. Statement number 4. Before thinking of marriage, you must have 3 kinds of maturity. Before thinking of marriage, you must have 3 kinds of maturity. You know, we're not preaching here today, we're teaching. Before thinking of marriage, you must have 3 kinds of maturity. 1, you must be physically matured. Physically matured. That is, if you're a man, you must be physically matured. If you're a woman, you must be physically matured. If you are not physically matured, you may even be pregnant and not even have enough waist to deliver the baby. Because you're not a girl, just a tiny girl. Tiny girl. 2, you must be spiritually matured. By spiritual maturity, I mean that before you begin to talk about marriage, you must get yourself to a spiritual level where God speaks to you. You can hear God talk. If you have not grown to that level, don't dabble into marriage. Don't waste your time. You're just looking for trouble. Try and develop yourself spiritually first. Get to that level where you can say, yes, this is what God is saying. If it's in the issue of marriage, you have to do 3 days dry fast. It's worth it. Because that 3 days dry fast you did will favor your life one day. 3 days dry fast. It is worth it. It is worth it. If it's in the issue of marriage, you need to do it. It is worth it. You have to be spiritually matured. Somebody who is not even matured enough to know whether you are studying mathematics or history or geography, it's not say, God has shown me my husband. It's a lie. Somebody who is not even spiritually matured enough to ask questions from the Lord, say, Father, should I go here? Should I not go there? You don't even know how to get that answer. And now, when it now came to the issue of marriage, you became an emergency prophet. It is a lie. You didn't see anything. What is speaking to you is the spirit of lust in your heart. You must be spiritually matured. Thirdly, you must be materially matured. Materially matured. That is, you ought to at least be able to feed yourself properly. When you're already suffering from kwashiorkor, you can't even eat balanced meal. You can't buy proper toothbrush and toothpaste. Your shirt has map of Africa at the back. And you say, excuse me. Excuse me. I want to marry you. You are a celebrated zombie. Zombie. A boy who is sleeping on a mat under the bed of his uncle is now going to tell a woman, I want to marry you. What marriage? Have you married yourself first? So this is why the marriage committee will ask a man, where do you work? Can we see your payslip? Take us to your flat. There was a marriage like that at this our headquarters about 10 years ago. They came to the marriage committee and told them plenty lies. Say, why is the man working? Say, in fact, he's a banker. The man does not even have a job. He's a banker. Let him show you his ID card. And he brought that ID card. Anybody can print ID card anywhere. Okay, next Tuesday, we're coming to look at your house. Say, yes, yes. He lives in a flat. They borrowed the flat from somebody who has gone to work. And they showed the marriage committee around. One of the women who went with the marriage committee was a troublesome woman. So that one looked around the house and said, excuse me, sir. I know you said this is your flat, isn't it? Can you show me one picture of yours here? Something that we can use to recognize that you're not. Say, madam, are you saying I'm a liar? This is an insult. Blah, blah, blah. He bamboozled his way. And the woman left. Beloved, the girl got pregnant. This woman got pregnant. It was when they went, she now got pregnant. Then trouble started that I sent one of our pastors to go and help me look at where they live. They live somewhere downtown close to the lagoon. And the man did not even have a mat. They're talking about bed. No mat. What kind of life is this? They got her pregnant on hard ground. And now she's complaining of back pain, this pain, that pain, this pain. For a woman too, who is going into marriage, you must be materially mature. At least have a job to feed yourself, at least your own mouth. Because nobody is praying for problem to happen. But one day the man may say, get out of this place. When the man says, get out of this place, and you don't have anything, you go back to your parents who have been looking after you since and be eating their food. It's a shame and a disgrace. So your daddy that has said bye-bye to you is now using mouth to cut meat and say, let me put some in your soup for you. So you must be spiritually, physically, materially matured. Get something in your hand that you can use to survive just in case. Nobody's praying for anything bad to happen. Just in case. If you move into the house of a man, as a woman, you don't know any trade, you don't know anything, you have not no certificate, no job, no trade, no nothing. The only thing you know how to do is to push up your breast inside your blouse and dress like a serpent and move delicately on the floor and shake your waist as if shaking of waist will bring money. Later. Amen. Later, the man who used to applaud your shape and shaking of waist used to applaud and say, excuse me, ma, I can't be the only one walking here. I was getting fat here. I'm not doing anything. Statement number 5. Please, are you following me? So some are not even qualified to start praying about marriage. Because they have no qualification. Spiritually, you can't see anything. Your mother is a witch, you don't even know. So you are not spiritually matured. Physically, well, you are qualified. That one is easy. To be physically qualified is easy. It's just to be at least you have breast, you can grow, you have grown. The man too has a penis. Is tall, you can use it, so that's all. But most people will score 100% in the physical maturity one. So is the spiritual one and the material one that is a problem. Statement number five. If you marry an unbeliever, the devil becomes your father-in-law. And if the devil is your father-in-law, oh, you're in trouble. It will harass your life. It will harass your life. I know a lady who used to come to Mountain of Fire. And somebody married her. The person is an unbeliever. The person who smokes cigarettes. Begin to lick sweet and peppermint to clean them out. The sister knew that the man was smoking. But something was telling her that, well, don't worry. After marriage, it will change. It will change. Ha! Ah, no. If a man is very loose with women before marriage, it will not change when he's married. If a man is a fry pan liar, you know, when somebody tells lies and he makes face like fry pan, and he's not winking, he's not shaking, he will continue to lie. So, since you did not succeed in converting yourself, you can't say the man will get converted after marriage. It's not possible. The key of salvation is not in your hand. So you can't say a man will convert. It's not possible. So it's better not to see the mouth of the lion and put your head inside. So they got married. Again, they went to the marriage committee. The girl taught the man what to say. So when you get there, they will ask you, are you born again? You say yes. Then they will ask you, have you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Say yes, that I have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's how to answer. What did I say again? The man will be. He was still training, coaching the man. And the man went there and answered the questions correctly. Are you born again? Yes. Have you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Say yes. With the evidence of speaking in tongues. So that's all right. That's all right. Told lies. The man did not have money to buy the wedding suit. It was the sister who bought it. What kind of husband is this? Yet, they got married. The second day of the wedding, the man woke her up in the middle of the night and said, if I see your leg in that church again, you are finished. Both of us, no church again. That was the last we heard about the sister. I'm praying for somebody here. Husband from hellfire. Wife from hellfire. They will not locate you. Let your amen be loud and clear. Let your amen be loud and clear. Let your amen be loud and clear. And those of you who are here, you say, yes, I'm anointed. God has called me to be a pastor. If God has called you to be a minister, I congratulate you. You have to be careful who you marry. It takes a woman only 5 minutes to destroy the ministry of her husband. Just 5 minutes, that's all. Minister, you even have to pray harder. Harder. One day, the great apostle Babalola called all his pastors together and said, how many of you want to make heaven? They said, me. Say, ask your wife whether you will make heaven. Because if that madam say you are not making it, that's it. That's it. You want to go to church, you pour water on your clothes. You want to go out and say you are not going out. So, if you marry an unbeliever, the devil becomes your father-in-law. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14. Second Corinthians 6:14. Be ye ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? So you should not even consider it. It's not an option to consider. Once a man is not born again, a woman is not born again, don't bother to pray. It's useless praying. Don't even try it. Just forget it. No matter how beautiful, how handsome, how long the legs are, how much Queen's English he speaks, what kind of fast car he rides, what kind of houses he lives in, how many dollars are in his pocket, immediately he's a child of the devil. Don't make the devil your father-in-law. Run. I say, and he's very nice. So I like the way he smiles. Is he smile? You will marry. Sir, he's very kind, though, very generous. Do you know where the money is coming from? Do you know where the money is coming from? Please note this very well. Without any apologies and with due respect, anybody who is demanding sex from you before marriage is an unbeliever. Even if he calls himself a pastor. Without any apology, with due respect, anybody at all, once you get into the hand of a man, a woman, and they are demanding sex before marriage, they are not born again. They are children of the devil. So all this, we didn't know what you were doing. We didn't know you to get that far. We didn't know. We did get that far. We didn't know. I'm dealing with a case now. I shared it at the headquarters on Wednesday. She went to a party with evil friends. They put something in her drink. She slept off. And the boys there began to rape her. By the time she woke up from what made her sleep, she found a boy on top of her, sleeping with her. And the others were still naked, looking on. And they were videoing her. When she opened her eyes and pushed away this boy who was there, they all ran away. She reported to her parents, who took police to arrest the four boys. The four boys and the girl, they were taken to the hospital for a medical checkup. Three of them had HIV. One and the girl did not have. But technically, those of you who know science, they have transferred the HIV into her by going about with unbelievers. I pray at any power that wants to glue somebody to the camp of destruction shall be scattered in the name of Jesus. And I prophesy upon somebody here, you will not marry your enemy. 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 In the name of Jesus. And if you are already married and you are here, I pray that the Lord will give you plaster, iodine, first aid to cope if you have already married your enemy. Statement number 6. Destiny comes before partner. Destiny comes before partner. You must know your purpose on earth before you start looking for a woman or a man that will fit it. Destiny comes before partner. Find out your destiny first before praying about partner. Know why God has brought you here before you start praying about a partner. Don't marry somebody who will be a deficit to your destiny later on. Statement number 7. Marriage is a life contract. Therefore, don't rush into it without adequate preparation. Marriage is a life contract. Therefore, don't rush into marriage without adequate preparation. What you do not prepare for, you cannot give the thing your best. When you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. Statement number 8. Are you following me? Am I too fast for you? You're following me. Statement number 8. The devil battles against the establishment of godly marriages. The devil battles against the establishment of godly marriages. Whenever the devil is seeing that this person, these two people, if they join together, they are going to give him stress. He will battle and battle and battle and battle them. And one of the forces that doesn't like people to get married is the devil not wanting a kind of match that would disgrace him. Do you follow what I just said? The devil doesn't want two people to get married and you are troubling his kingdom. You want to get married and then you'll have children who also be troubling his kingdom. He will start fighting. I pray that if there is anyone here like that and the reason you are not married is because the enemy is afraid of your destiny, you shall overcome in the name of Jesus. Statement number nine. There are ancestral and demonic roadblocks to marriages. There are ancestral and demonic roadblock to marriages. This is why you find Mountain of Fire talking about spirit husband, spirit wife, spiritual marriages. Once you start seeing people sleeping within your dream, you start having sex in the dream, it means that you're already married somewhere. The person sleeping with you in that dream is your husband over there, or your wife over there. So if a person continues to have those kind of sexual dreams, you will not be able to locate the correct marriage partner that you're supposed to have. And when somebody is praying, praying, and you cannot really locate who God wants you to marry, sometimes it's because you are under a curse. Under a curse. And that curse can cause trouble. In one family many years ago, the family is in this Lagos, so I won't mention the name because it's a popular family. In that family, popular Lagos family, marriages never work. One of them came for deliverance at Prayer City. Was then this secret was revealed that a long time ago in that family, long time ago, hundreds of years back, they sacrificed a slave girl who was a virgin. They used a slave girl who was a virgin as a sacrifice. And as they were killing that slave girl, it began to issue curses that no one in that marriage, in that family line, will have a happy home. Or will marry at all. And we can see the outworking now. So it's not everything that is a hospital case. Some cases, even some doctors will say, you can't look for somebody who can pray. I don't understand this anymore. If you have come from a family where marriages do not work, I prophesy upon your life that your case shall be different. 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 In the name of Jesus. Number 10 statement. It is dangerous for you to give your body to a man before you are married to him. It is dangerous for you to give your body to a man before you are married to him. Number one, you cheapen yourself. Number two, they will write your name on their list of those that they have captured. Number three, you lose your respect because men respect those women who will say no to their sexual advancement and not just giving easily. Number four, they will use and dump you. It's dangerous to give your body to a man you are not married to. Then there is one spiritual secret many of us don't understand. Once you begin to sleep with a woman, or a man begins to have sex with you, there is no prayer you can pray again that heaven will show you a secret. Because now, two of you have become a one. So you have to be very, very careful. In that book of Genesis that we read, God brought each animal to Adam. Adam was giving name to them. The process of giving a name to somebody is to give a character and identity to that person. So Adam was standing by and he brought the lion. The lion came and said, let's say your name shall be lion. Pass me by. I have nothing to do with you. You are roaring. Then they brought the dog. Why? Adam said, huh? Your name shall be dog. You are barking. Pass me by. They brought snake. Hissing and calling. Say, this one is a snake. Pass me by. They pass all those various animals through Adam. Adam just gave the animal and said, pass by. But these days now, sisters are marrying serpents, dogs, snakes. Adam said, all those things you pass by. But when they brought Eve, say, yes, this is the bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Understand this very, very well. God has an agenda. And that agenda is not to harm you, but to prosper your life. The Bible says Adam slept while God made Eve. Adam slept. It did not say, I must remain awake. He slept. That sleep is a state of rest. You must be at rest for God to give you the best. All this agitation, anxiety. Hey, that one is gone again. Hey, I'm tired. I'm chief bridesmaid for this, chief bridesmaid for that, best man for this, best man. I'm tired. Hey, and your blood pressure is going up. You won't see anything. Better relax. Be at rest for God to give you the best. Adam was sleeping while God did the surgery. So a key principle in getting married is rest. Rest. And then final point. Don't underrate yourself. Some have underrated themselves too badly. I'm about to give up. I'm too fat. The truth is that some people like your kind. Some said, I'm not beautiful enough. Who told you that you're not beautiful? Beauty is a thing of the mind. There are even some people, anytime they call prayer point, it is then they will wake up from their sleep and then start praying. And then they say that nothing is happening. I pray that the confidence of the Holy Spirit shall be your rock and your shield. Amen. Now, before I now go into biblical principles for choosing, I want to go into danger signals. Red light. When the thing begins to flash. Danger signals. Because some people will come and say, well, I want to marry a tall man. Dark and handsome man. I want to marry a beautiful woman. That is your mindset. If your mindset is not the mindset of heaven, you are in trouble. I want to marry a tall man, a dark man, a handsome man. You that you say you want to marry a tall, dark, handsome man. Are you tall? Are you dark? Are you handsome? Are you beautiful? Beauty is in the mind. We are all created in the image of God. Most of the handsome and beautiful people you have around have characters or behaviors that turn them sometimes to monsters. So look into the soul, not the face. Look into the soul, not the face. Like I told you before, to marry a man because of handsomeness or to marry a woman because of beauty is like buying a house because of paint. Very soon, the paint will wear off. And then you know who you married. I want you to understand this very well. Some will come and say, I want to marry a rich man. I want to marry a rich man. I want to marry a rich woman. You that you say you want to marry a rich man,
A rich woman.
How much money do you have yourself? Nobody wants a liability. So you should not be a liability. Money answers all things, but money cannot buy happiness. I want you to understand that one very, very soon. These are some practical things we need to share with you here. Some will say, well, my husband or wife must have a very sound education and they must go to the best schools. Really? The best person you want is the person God has for you. And the person, both of you should be able to complement each other. It's possible that the man you find may not be able to speak the kind of English you want the person to speak. But it's not that English you will eat when you get home. And some people say, well, though I'm advanced in age, I don't want to look desperate. Because if I look desperate, they'll take me for a ride. Age is actually in the mind. You're as old as you feel. So if you put up an unapproachable attitude, it's also very bad. Hey, I can't marry somebody that I'm older than. Well, we've seen successful marriages where the wife is older. You don't have to be shouting your age at rooftop. Don't have to be shouting your age at rooftop. I'm this, I'm that. You don't have to. The important thing is to do what God wants you to do. Now, danger signals. You meet a guy. Day one. First day. And he's already invited you to his house. Run. You haven't found a husband yet. Sisters, can you hear me? First day, let's go to our house. You better pick race and run. Danger signal. You meet a guy. Your name is Deborah, and he's already calling you Roslyn. You better run, because that is telling you that there is Roslyn somewhere. That is still occupying his mind. That's why he said, I'm not Roslyn, I'm Deborah. How are you calling me Roslyn? Huh? Ah, foolish girl. You meet a guy. He always wants to borrow your money. Can I have 1,000 naira? Can I have 200 naira? Can I have a recharge card? Can I have? He has never given you one single recharge card. He has never given you one cup. Say, Can I have? You're already facing an arm robber. You better run. You meet a guy, and you have never seen his mother before, and he's telling you that his mother cannot do anything wrong. He's a perfect woman. Better run. You meet a man and he's forgetting your bad day. He's forgetting the days that are important to your life. You better run. You meet a man and only you like that man in your house. Your mother does not like him. Your father does not like him. All your siblings don't like him. They hate him. And you are the only one smiling and says, nice man. Nice man. Those siblings can see what you cannot see. Because they are not blinded by what you call love that has blinded your own eyes. You better run. You meet a man and already you are not married to him yet and he's getting violent. He's getting violent. He grabbed your handset and smashed it on the floor. And you're not married yet. So, who sent you this text message? Sir, it's my friend. So, which friend? Give me the answer. Give me the girl. Smash it. You better run. That anger is not likely to go away. It's not likely to go away when you marry. You may even not survive that marriage. I know a man called Sunday. His wife was promoted at work, and the wife drove him in a new Toyota car. When Sunday saw that tear rubber car coming, jealousy, everything took him over. He went straight to the kitchen and grabbed a knife. Before you could say Jesus is Lord, he tore the wife to pieces with knife, claiming that she had received car from the boyfriend. Only to discover the second day that she got it in her place of work. I'm sure that it was not that day the wife noticed that Sunday used to get angry. You meet a man, he does not compliment you. If you wear clothes, if you don't wear, you pass, you fail, no compliments. You better run. It means that they are just using you to play extra time. You meet a man who doesn't give you any gift. They don't have to be expensive. Small, small things. So stingy. You better run. You better run. Before you marry the fellow and he is giving you his own pant to use as menstrual pad. Above all, you meet a man who never talks about the Sunday sermons. He never discusses Bible. But he will discuss Yahoo, Playboy, this magazine, that magazine. Two, if you're a brother, danger signals to watch for. When you meet a sister the first day, and you say, where do you live? Where do you live? I want to know your house. Hey, you better run. You meet a sister, and every day she's introduced you to a new male friend. This is Joshua. He's my friend. This is my friend. How many male friends? You meet a sister, and anytime you're talking to her, anytime you mention money, then expression changes. It's money. Or you meet a sister, she's already telling you that Ada prayed that your mother should die before I come and marry you. Or remove her. You're already in trouble. You meet a sister who is very quarrelsome. Always seem to be in a bad mood. You have to pet her, talk before you sometimes get her to smile. Above all, you meet a sister who is not interested in the things of God. Those are danger signals to watch for. If you are already seeing that signal, run. Don't wait. Don't even wait for a prophet. Run. Now, what are the biblical principles for choosing a marriage partner? There are 10 of them. 10 of them. Let me now take it one by one. Pastor, how many more minutes have you got? Number one principle. Be born again. You want to choose your partner. The first principle is what? Be born again. The Bible says, whosoever is in Christ has become a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. For heaven to take you as a serious person, you must be born again. As I stand there today, I feel sad in my heart to tell you that there are pastors who are not born again. There are bishops who are not born again. There are apostles who are not born again, the only reason they call him apostle is because of his tall hat. There are superintendents who are not born again. There are so-called men of God who are far from new birth, as heaven is far from the earth. There are so many people who go to church who are not born again at all. Those who are born again, they don't tell lies. They don't commit fornication. They don't steal. They don't bear malice. They don't do evil things that others do. They are born again. Those who are born again, in their lives, you find coming to pass the words of that ancient Negro spiritual. The thing I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. That is a great change since. The things you used to do, gone. People will look at you and say, yes, this person has changed. Most people who claim to be born again these days are born against. They have not tasted heaven at all. This foundation must be cleared. You must be born again as written in scripture so that heavens will have you in mind. That's the foundation of everything. If you're not born again, that foundation for heaven to even give you a good wife is not there. The foundation for heaven to give you a good husband is not there, because as far as heaven is concerned, your name is not on their register, because you are just not born again. I've been at an international conference before. An international conference. I was the chief speaker. That's the name they gave to me. Big name. Chief speaker. In that kind of conference, normally all of us will be on the high table like this. Everybody on the high table. Then the preacher will be at the center. So I got there. They began to introduce everybody. Say, on this left corner, you find this woman. She's the first police commissioner in this country. Let's give her a round of applause. Pa, 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 pa. Then this one is that is the head of this company. Blah, blah, give her a round of applause. I give this man a round of applause. Very fearful introduction. Very intimidating. As they were introducing them, where I was standing. This one is secretary to something government. Then they now got to me and said, finally. I was speaker for today. Dr. Lukoya, General Officer, Martin of Fire Miracles Ministry, is from Nigeria. Blah, blah, blah. Quack, 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 quack. They clapped and gave me the microphone. As I grabbed the microphone, I said, stand up and let us pray. As I closed my eyes, I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say, son, there is a homosexual on this high table. Tell that homosexual to repent right now, or he will die within 7 days. So say so now. Say, ha. Say, hey, what kind of trouble is this now? Say, Lord, if I say this, they will throw me out. Say, son, obey me. Say, what? Since I didn't set myself there, it's the Lord that sent me. So I prepared myself to be thrown out. And if they threw me out, I won't be the first, because they threw out my daddy before. They threw out my own physical daddy. They invited me to preach at a harvest bazaar. He was invited as a preacher at Harvest Bazaar. You know this bazaar place where they raise money. And he got there and began to talk about rapture. In fact, the Jew ordered the ushers to throw him out. So I prepared myself to be thrown out. So I said, there is somebody here on this high table who is a homosexual. He should repent now, or he will die within 7 days. Before they settled down, I started praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, blah, 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 blah. I purposely pray long prayer. But as I was praying my prayer, I noticed that the tables and the chair were moving beside me. By the time I said, in Jesus' name I pray, when I was expecting them to say, get out of here, there was nobody on the eye table. Nobody. I didn't know that when the Holy Spirit was saying, there is somebody here, he meant all of them. But one thing, I appreciated them for one thing. They did not deceive themselves. Some will have stubbornly stood there. Say, how can I be put to shame like that? I will stay. They did not disgrace themselves. They did not disgrace themselves like that woman who was in Joseph Babalola's meeting, and Joseph Babalola got to her village, and she was the mother of the church. And when Joseph Babalola got to the village, he prayed on the river, and as he was praying on the river, he was saying with a smile, that please, if you know that you are possessed, and you have witchcraft spirits, please, after praying on this water, don't drink it. So with smile, you know, he had told them. So everybody in the church was drinking. The mama now said, me, a whole mother of the church, how can it be said that I did not drink water that Baba prayed on? She drank the water. That was her disaster. All of a sudden, she tore off her clothes. And for the first time, they saw that she had both male and female organ. In the open. They all disappeared. From that eye table. You must be what? Born again. The major problem we have in the house of God is that we have so many people who are not born again. Who are coming to the house. They're not born again. Choristers who are not born again. Ushers who are not born again. People who don't know, who don't even know what new birth means, claiming to be born again. It's very sad. Those who practice masturbation, you claim to be, you are using your finger to excite your vagina, you say you are born again. What is new birth? You're not born again, you are a fornicator. Your own is even worse. Your finger is your penis. You're practicing masturbation, you're not born again. No, let's not deceive ourselves. That's the problem that we have. Be born again. So if you're in this garden today, you have that opportunity to surrender your life to Jesus. So what is point number one? Point number two. Confirm your destiny. Confirm your destiny. That is, know what your destiny is. Who really are you? What are you here to do? Are you a carpenter? Are you a pastor? Are you a bricklayer? Are you a geographer? Is it your destiny to become the vice chancellor or governor or president? Find out what it is first. Find it out very well. Confirm your destiny before you do anything. Confirm it very well. What is your destiny? If you don't know your destiny, you don't know anything, no. Because you may know your book, but if you don't know your destiny, you still don't know anything. Confirm your destiny. And you can pray to confirm your destiny. Good enough, the Lord has blessed Mountain of Fire and Miracles Ministry with some powerful prayer books you can open and pray if you want to know your destiny. There's a particular book called Pray Your Way to Breakthroughs. There's a section there called Know the Secret. There's another book that has a section there called Revelation Knowledge. Or make your way plain before my face. You can grab this place. Begin to pray, Father, I want to know why you brought me here. I want to know your call for my life. I want to know what you intend to do with my life. Begin to talk. Begin to tell the Lord. You may pray the prayer for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, before you begin to have what you call Joseph's dream. Joseph knew his destiny. He said, I saw all of you bowing down to me, including the father and the mother. So he knew that one day it's going to the top. I see somebody here. One day you get to the top. And every part that is harassing you now, that doesn't want you to get there, you will bury them. Let your amen roar like thunder. So what is point number one? Point number two, confirm your destiny. Confirm your destiny. Don't just go into university and study just anything to get a degree. No. Confirm your destiny. If the Lord says that you are a pilot, then you are wasting your destiny by studying sociology or studying history. Three, ensure that you are physically, materially, and spiritually matured. Ensure that you are physically, materially, and spiritually matured. We have discussed this before. Ensure that one. There's nothing wrong if you go on 3 days dry to improve your spiritual life. Nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong if you'd say, I want to read the whole of the Bible through. It takes only 56 hours to read through the Bible. And if you read three chapters every day and you read 5 chapters on Sunday, you finish the Bible in a year. There's nothing wrong. Those ones will increase your spiritual temperature. Ensure that you are physically, materially, and spiritually matured. Don't fall into a trap where a woman will give you an 8-year-old daughter and say, God said, this is the person you are going to marry in the future, so begin to look after her now, and you're already 20. Four. Ensure that your partner is born again. Ensure that your partner is born again. That is, this person that is talking to you, or you intend to talk to, ensure that the person is born again, so that you are not deceived at all. How many persons have you covered now? What's number one? Number two? Number three? Number four? Number five? Complete your deliverance. Complete your deliverance. Because there are anti-marriage forces that do not want people to get married. Deliverance is the only way out for that. There is no other way out. As a sister attending one of these churches in Lagos, 13 times she had failed engagement. 13 times. She started to have failed engagement from the age of 19, and it stretched till she was 40. 13 times. So it was, and she goes to church. Was there? I think she now went to a pastor. The pastor preaches like an American. Went to the pastor and said, you know, the mother dragged her to her pastor and said, Pastor, my daughter has got me to this church. It's at 13 failed engagement, and you are here. What have you done about it? The pastor looked at him and said, Mom, what did you just say? So I said, she had 13 failed engagement. The pastor said, 13 failed engagement? This is serious. Take her to the mountain of fire. Amen. At least that one was honest. Now this one is not an ordinary matter. Let her go for a deliverance from those anti-marriage forces. If your mother had a bad marriage, you better start praying now. If your father is a polygamist, you better start praying now. You come from a polygamous home, you better start praying now. If your father had concubines outside, aside from your mother, you better start praying now. Don't wait. Start praying now. There is something in your foundation that needs to be addressed. Don't waste time at all. And if you look at the whole of your family, you find that marriages never work. You better start praying now to get delivered from that, what you call collective captivity. I pray that the Lord will help you in Jesus' name. What is point number one? Two. Three. Four. Five. Number six. Ensure that you have a solid communication line with the Almighty. Ensure that you have a solid communication line with the Almighty. Ensure that you have a solid communication line with the Almighty. There are about 40 ways that God speaks to man. 40. Out of those 40 ways that God speaks to man, acquire some. So when God, you can hear from God anytime, acquire some. There are 40 vehicles of divine communication. Out of those 40, acquire some. For example, God can talk to you face to face, the way I'm talking to you now. God can talk to you by voice, the way you are hearing my voice now. God can talk to you through visions. Visions. You are praying, you are seeing things. Or you close your eyes and you are seeing things. God can talk to you sending his angels. God can talk to you through dreams. God can talk to you through reference to Bible passages. God can talk to you through anointed meditation. God can talk to you through your conscience. God will just speak to your heart, and you will know that he's speaking to your heart. God can talk to you through an impression on your heart. He impressed the thing on your heart. God can talk to you through the inner voice. He will speak to your inside. God can talk to you through the still small voice. Still small voice. If you want to know more about how God talks to people, I recommend you get a copy of our Bible study on hearing from God that we did some time ago. So you know the various methods by which God talks to people. A lot of us rely only on dreams. Dreams are good, but the disadvantage of dream is that you only dream when you are asleep. And you are not going to get married inside the dream. You are going to get married in physical. So don't rely on dreams alone. Rely on other things. God can also talk to you through anointed counseling or anointed words from men of God. God can talk to you through prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. So many ways that God speaks to his people as line of communication. It is not everybody who will hear the voice of God the way you are hearing me now, but you can see vision. It's not everybody who can see vision, but you can dream dreams. But ensure, and the only way to ensure that is to prayerfully pursue it. The Bible says, whosoever ask shall receive. If you knock, it shall be opened unto you. If you seek, you'll find. It's what you ask for, heaven will give to you. If you shut yourself in and go on to a retreat and begin to pray every three hours, Father, I want you to talk to me. Open doors of communication to me. I want to understand you. I want to know you. I too want to talk to you like a friend. I want to talk to you face to face. You keep talking. And you clean your life from sin, he will talk to you. If God abandons you, he's not talking to you, and he's now talking to another person about you, then you have a problem. If he's not talking to you, he should talk to you clearly, not you relying on third party before you can hear from God. So ensure that you have a solid communication line with the Almighty. Out of the 40 ways that God speaks to people, make sure He speaks to you by some. Get this Bible study on hearing from God. Get the outline, get the tape, get the CD, listen to it over and over again. Then put yourself into prayer and begin to pray. If you pray for one day, you don't have results yet, go on the second day. You don't have results there, go on the third day. Go 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, 7 days. Then begin to fast. Do it day one, do it day two, do it day three. As far as there is no sin in your life, heaven will talk to you. It is a certainty. Whosoever asks, receives. Whosoever knocks, the door shall be open. If you seek, you find. That's the promise of heaven. So call upon me, the Bible says, and I will answer. That is heaven for you. Number 7. Seek God in prayer. Seek the face of God in prayer. Seek the face of God in prayer. The Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Seek God in prayer. Begin to ask, Father, who should I marry? Is it this person that I must marry? You must seek the face of God in prayers for a godly spouse. How many things have I told you now? What is number 1? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Seek for angelic assistance to lead you to your partner, to lead you to your wife or husband to be. Seek for angelic assistance to lead you to your husband or wife to be. Seek for angelic assistance to lead you to your husband or wife to be. You can ask God to send an angel to direct your steps to your wife, just like it is in Genesis chapter 24, verse 7. The angels of God, who are ministering spirits, can assist you. Seek for angelic assistance. Number 9. Ask for specific revelation from heaven on your wife or husband to be. Ask for specific revelations from heaven on your wife or husband to be. Ask for revelation. You want to know. You can pray to a level, beloved, where God will bring a picture before you. Ask for specific revelations from heaven on your wife or husband to be. And last but not the least, for you to get the proper thing, let the peace from the Holy Spirit settle in your mind. Let the peace of the Holy Spirit settle in your mind. Because struggle in your spirit is a sign that there is a problem. Let the peace of the Holy Spirit just settle in your mind. Because that struggling is a sign that there is a problem. Amen. Now, the conclusion of the matter. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, he obtaineth favor from the Lord. The conclusion of the matter is this. And listen to me very clearly. The closer you are to God, the better your life will be. The farther you are away from God, the worse things become. And you are as close to God as you personally want to be. You are as close to God as you personally want to be. If you want to be closer to God than the way you are close now, you can do something about it. Increase your prayer life. Increase your Bible reading. Increase your consecration. Increase your commitment. Increase your prayer time. And you find that you start drawing close. You start drawing close. You start drawing close. The closer you are to God, the better for you. The more you become a friend of the Almighty, the easier it is for you to locate your partner. But if you are not born again, you are not serious, you are a hypocrite, the kind of person you will locate will be somebody like yourself. You are a deceiver. You also locate another deceiver like yourself, because the dragon in the person will invite you. Both of you will magnetize each other. If you are the kind that is keeping malice and you will be playing games, you will not be able to attract a good person. And I want you to understand this very well. Unfortunately, these days, plenty of people, young people in our churches, are really not born again. They're just going to church. Just claim to be born again. I pray that you will not make a mistake. I pray that this lecture will not stand against you one day. I pray that you will not get to heaven and they will say, but the general of us, I explained this thing to you. Why didn't you follow it? I pray that will not be your lot in Jesus' name. Rise up on your feet.